podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. Liverpool have just beaten Nottingham Forest 3-0, just like I predicted in the previous show. Elliot, I said 3-0, 70th minute. You can make subs, you can change the game and just relax a bit. And that's exactly how it panned out. So before I get into that, mate, how are you, mate? Oh, you're on mute. Let me sort you out, bro.
Hello, people hear me now.
Yeah.
I'm all good. It was a nice Sunday afternoon game, that, to be fair. I think everyone can be quite pleased and all be happy as chappy going home.
Exactly, mate. It was so easy, wasn't it? And we will get into it straight away. We'll get into the good bits and we'll talk about standout performance. But guys, if you want to smash the like button, if you're live in this stream right now, or if you're watching on the replay, please make sure you do that for us. And as always, check out our podcast sponsor. I'll just get this out on the screen right now because there is a new product which I do want to show you guys about. It's called Player Moments Art. Not just Liverpool cards, but if you not just Liverpool art, sorry, but if you support any team, like there's a Man City one there, there's loads of Liverpool ones, but there's a Man United one. Basically, what these player art moments do is obviously they look good on your wall, but there is a QR code on the front. And basically, if you scan that QR code, it brings up the video of that moment. So they are on the site right now. So if you guys want to check that out, TAT pod and the discount code, you get a cheeky 15% off. Elliot, let's get straight onto it, mate. Let's talk about this lineup. Now, I just want to briefly discuss what we predicted. We got this 100% spot on. And I think we would have got this 100% spot on had the absolute heartbreaking news of Luis Diaz come out overnight. Of course, I think we need to touch on that before we move any further. But yeah, seeing everything unfold today, we'll get on to Jota's celebration as well. It's very difficult, isn't it, to put into words, you know, how he must be feeling right now.
Yeah, especially when he's on, you know, so far away, really. So. I suppose we all everyone can do is kind of just wait and hopefully, you know, patience will pay off and the authorities over in Colombia can do all they can and his father will be safe, hopefully, fingers crossed, and our hope is he is as well as he can be, because that must have been a tough overnight one for him and the squad. I know Jürgen touched on it with saying it was a very tough night, because I mean nothing like that's ever happened to him in his managerial career, which, you know, is expected. So the players dealt with that well today, and I'm sure they're all wishing him well. If he is still in the country, that is, and, you know, they're by his side if need be.
Absolutely, 100%. And like we say, we obviously didn't know that was going to happen. Nobody could have ever predicted that. So I think when we did the lineup, we put him in there. But everything else is completely spot on. And obviously, Jota probably comes into the team. I'm pretty confident Diaz was going to start this game. So Jota has come into the team on short notice. He gets his goal, and I think that's where we'll start. We'll talk about Jota's goal, mate. It was brilliant from McAllister. I know a lot of people have had mixed opinions on McAllister since signing. Some are saying that he's wasted in DM. Some are saying that he needs to be further up. Some are saying he's not been as good as they thought. But I think this is probably one of his better games, to be honest. And I think this goal, it all starts from him. He wins the ball back in the midfield. Then he sees Salah breaking away. Salah carries it forward, passes it to Nunes, whose shot is saved, but Diogo is there to put it away and then obviously dedicates it to Luis Diaz. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that first goal, mate? I know it's about 31 minutes in, but not much before that, really, did it?
No, it was... I mean, the goal was... I mean, I don't know whether you can say it was coming, but, you know, Liverpool, every time they went forward, they're always threatening anyway, and especially when a team's just sitting with five at the back, low block, just attempting... I mean, I say attempted. I thought Forest were awful, to be honest. He was nothing about them until Liverpool 3-0 up and he smashed the bar and literally nothing happened for them. So, I mean, every time he was attacked, he was hope within Liverpool supporters. And, you know, it was going to come, whether it was going to be 31 or 71. And, you know, it was going to come. Touching on McAllister, I think that is, you know, my point with, you know, touched on it quite a bit in terms of wanting to see him maybe Endo there, but being perfectly fine with McAllister starting in the 6 at-home games against the low block, that today was why, because he was absolutely excellent. His duels, his tackling, his passing, you know, aggressive in the tackle when Liverpool, you know, want to, you know, keep going, recycling attacks, is absolutely perfect today. And I think, Whether I still doubt whether that the fact he was actually signed to be the six, to be honest, just simply because he's got the number 10 on his shirt. But, you know, Endo played well against Toulouse, but it seems to be the way forward where McAllister will be the first 3-6. And, you know, he'll get bigger tests, you know, certainly, you know, Manchester City in a few weeks coming up. That'll be a big one for him. But today he was absolutely excellent. And I think that is why I am so happy to see him in the six against Low Blocks. He can do everything perfectly there. And he done it for Brighton only, okay, in a pivot. But he is more or less in a pivot with Trent next to him these days in that system. And the goal was, you know, it was nice play all round. You expect that from the front players because they've got a certain amount of class. You always expect Nunes to take a shot on as well. And the keeper does okay, you know, not much you can do with it. Jota's always there, you know. Jota, as per usual, gets the little scraps and gets on his way in the celebration. You know, really nice touch. I assume it would have been the case with anyone who scored the first goal. And the crowd's got a little bit of a Luis Diaz chant going as well. So, you know, everyone backing him and hoping he's okay, of course.
Absolutely, mate. Spot on. I completely agree with everything you've said. I think the goal was brilliant. Like I pointed out, the way McAllister won the ball back there, what you want to see from whether he's the six going forward or if it's temporary, regardless, that's what you want to see.
Absolutely,
and then just the breakaway, I think it was almost like a vintage Liverpool goal. And I love those ones where it just breaks away and everything falls into place perfectly. And yeah, the keeper saves the Nunes shot. There's not much else Nunes could have done there. But 4 minutes later, 5 minutes later, Nunes does get his goal. And this one is a really nice one as well, because Diogo's got it on the left wing, switches it to Szoboszlai, who plays a lovely 1-2 with Mo Salah. And then Szoboszlai puts it across to Nunes. And again, mate, it's very close, isn't it? That Nunes shot. I've seen it, mate.
It's a
bit too close to comfort for me, that one. But it went in, that's all it was.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I did say that, so I was thinking, oh my God, you might have missed it again. But it's one of them where I think everyone's kind of running at full halt, so there's not much you can, you know, as long as it's on target, you just have to play. You know, he's in the position, isn't it? That's the most, and he's always in the position. He was fantastic today. I think the goal is really nice. It's probably the best goal of the day. Salah's little nutmeg, isn't it? I think it is to Szoboszlai, and it's every like Liverpool in motion kind of thing. Everyone knows where they're meant to go, and it was. And to be honest, that kills the game there and then, just simply because of the whole, you know, passive Forest way, really. There was nothing, I said it before, there was literally nothing. There's nothing more negative I can say than the fact that he was knocking about them, because there's literally nothing to pick up on apart from the fact that he basically threw the game. I mean, I don't know why he didn't start Awanui. I don't know if he wasn't fully fit, but he comes on, so he's got to be fit. So the second goal is lovely, but it ends the game. And, you know, from a neutral perspective, I know that's not us too, but the game is probably done then. But it's a lovely goal. Nunes again, you know, I think he's got the best G/A in the Premier League. I mean, maybe a couple of Uruguay goal contributions as well in terms of all competitions. I'm not too sure, but I know he's up there, and you've just got to keep him going. It's fantastic to see. Really, really pleased for him. A lovely goal. So, Szoboszlai, brilliant as well.
Yeah, just touch on Szoboszlai, because obviously he gets another assist a bit later on, and he got man of the match again, I believe, today. And I think again it's these games where you just see the difference, because last season you're playing against these low block sides at home. It's probably going to be 1-2 goal win max. You know, these low block teams last season,
even a loss,
Henton, or even a loss, and it was really tough to grind them down a lot of the time. But now, mate, we've got creators, we've got ball carriers, we've got agile midfielders, we've got all these players. But I think the main difference is obviously Szoboszlai. He didn't stop working today, did he?
No, I think the big thing is players who aren't scared to do something they haven't done. I mean, the amount of times today there was passing moves with flicks, dummies, they want to be creative with it. And that's not to have a go at any of the players that left. I always like to reiterate that, because they will be legends forever. They delivered the Premier League title and Champions League, majority of them. So, you know, you can never criticise them too much. But last season, they all seemed pretty much like their time with the club. And, you know, maybe at the top level with the biggest teams in the world, they come to an end, which I think is a fair point considering the teams they went to join. So, you know, there's a massive difference. And I mean, I watched the last side today, and I always go back to, I think, a point a lot of people have made. It's like a jump that we saw from Karius to Alisson, or, you know, a Lovren to Van Dijk kind of jump where it's just transformed. Like that right hand side is just so good. You mean opposition teams must just fear for their lives when they see Trent, Szoboszlai and Salah. It's so great. And there was times Szoboszlai was deeper than Trent, and they run and link up as a 1-2. You can tell they enjoy playing with each other so much, which is easy to see with their little bromance which is going on. So it's literally all positive, really. That right hand side was just, you know, brilliant. I mean, and then it was so casual in the second half for them where they could try the little flicks, you know, little lovely little plays, just getting up from their own half to the opposition box. There was some really fun, you know, phases of play today, and it does all stem from how good Szoboszlai is.
Absolutely, mate. 100% agree with what you're saying. And I think the whole Trent thing, how he's just all of a sudden become best mates with him straight away. I think that is important, because we all know that Liverpool is all about having a tight-knit squad, players that just really get on with each other, and you can see that straight away. And it just feels like the unity is back in the squad. Last season it felt like maybe that had gone away a bit, but I think now you can definitely see there's been some sort of shift, not just with those two guys, but all of the players. It just seems like they all love each other, and I think that's going to be important moving forward. And if we are going to be competing for this title, you need that. But yeah, that was a brilliant goal. Brilliant goal from Nunes. And we said, didn't we, on the match reaction from Toulouse, that Nunes, he just needs to forget about that chance. He just needs to push it off. And people were putting the question out, like, is this going to affect Darwin Nunes going forward? Absolutely not. He's a chance magnet. We've said this so many times. When Darwin Nunes is on the pitch, he just attracts chances. And, you know, he's just gone to 10 GA now. And I think that's over half, just over half of what he got in total for the whole of last season. So he's come on leaps and bounds, and I couldn't be happier for him, because, like, I'm not going to get into it now, but obviously a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism, not just from Liverpool fans, but from the whole football world. You know, you see, like, Paddy Power and Domino's, like, putting out stupid memes about him. And you see it now, and I've not seen those sort of tweets in a long time. So I'm happy for the lad. I think we all knew that he was going to come good. And I think if he can double that again and get to 20 goals and assists in this season, or maybe even more. I said he needs 20 goals this season or thereabouts. And then you can say, you know what, that's been a really good season. And he's on track for that. I think he's on 6 goals now. So you'd expect him to score 14 more, especially if he continues to play in the Europa League. So, brilliant, brilliant performance from Darwin Nunes again. And then again, Ellie, it was just so easy. We're going to jump again to another 30, 40 minutes for the Salah goal, which was on the 75th. But it was just so casual, wasn't it? It just felt like today Liverpool didn't need, probably didn't have to get out of second gear. We got the goals in the first 30, 35 minutes. And then it sort of becomes more of, okay, let's not go full throttle here because we've got a lot of games to play. Let's get this game in the bag and then we reserve energy for the future games. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly at home. I feel like there's a bit of that inevitability back. You remember that title-winning campaign. I think Curtis Jones said it in an interview with someone, that, like, he used to sit on the bench and sometimes wish the opposition would score first to make it a bit more interesting. But today, again, you know, I know they drew against Brighton 2-0. It's a tough game to go to. But even when it was Tottenham and that goal should stand, you know what I mean? There was like an inevitability, even with 10 men, that they were going to go and get the first goal, which they should have done. And especially, I mean, and I don't want to be too harsh on Forest, but there was no attack and impetus from them at all. And even like from teams which we know are going to sit back, there's always something. And he wasn't anything today. So I think, as you say, there was absolutely no need to go full throttle. And as I said before, if the goal came in the 31st or the 71st, there was going to be a chance and a goal coming. They didn't have to do anything extraordinary, and it was a nice game to see how the, you know, attacking phases and consistency were putting them together. You know, we've seen some of it, but we've also had to see some, you know, bits of brilliant individualness, certainly Nunes against Newcastle. And it was nice to see a game which was so calm, and that was because the midfield just looked so good, like, and the defence as well on the ball. I mean, I think I remember being a bit, think a bit, you know, with Konate, you know, his passes into the front man. I think today he still probably could have done a couple more, but it was just nice, safe possession. And then from that Liverpool build, and it's what they used to do. You know, it's a bit different now with Trent in the middle, but he's done that over and over again. And the second half, they didn't really need to because Forrest, again, didn't do anything. They didn't even bring on until the 70th minute, and the chances came after the Salah goal. So there was no need for Liverpool to be erratic or worried, because it was probably going to be one of the easiest 3 points they will generally get this season, because they weren't there today, Forrest. So yeah.
No, exactly that, mate. Exactly that. It's just a case of controlling the game and sort of managing the game and managing minutes, I think, and effort levels, I guess. I lied to it after the game, you know, when Liverpool don't need to get out the second year to win games, I think that is pretty scary for the rest of the league, because last season it felt like if we were going to win a game, we had to just go all out and put 110 in. At the minute, we can play on 40, 50 and get wins. So I think that's very impressive. And, you know, again, it's a credit to Klopp and Pep and the guys behind the scenes that I know we've not done anything yet, and people will be quick to say that, fine. But if you watch Liverpool, if you watch every minute of Liverpool like we do, we can see the differences. Even, you know, if a trophy doesn't come this season, we would still be able to sit here and say how far we've come. I'm still confident a trophy will come. I think we're going to win at least one minimum. But what I'm saying is, if you just watch Liverpool, you can just see that it's just a completely different team. 75th minute then. This one was hilarious. Szoboszlai just punts one up the pitch. Good little knock up, to be fair. Turner comes out, mix up with his defender, gives Salah an open goal. And Salah, another game, I called you Mike then. Another game, Elliot, and it's another record broken. He becomes the first player in the Premier League era for Liverpool to score in the first 5 consecutive home games.
Yeah, I mean, it's mad, isn't it? Every single game he does something, and every single game was a record at this point. To be fair, I think it's probably Liverpool because they were only in about second gear. He wasn't like electric today, but this is like the bit where he's different from the rest. Every time he has it, something happens, happens. Like every time he has the ball, a goal, or he scores the second goal and then the third. So he doesn't need to be so involved, but he's still there providing Liverpool with goals. I don't know what the Matera was doing. I don't know why he hesitated. I'm pretty sure it was Toffolo. If your keeper's out, if you're out that far, your box, you need to just take your own teammate with you and just get rid of the ball. I don't know what he was doing, as if like Toffolo was going to catch it or something. It was really bizarre. And it was a bit harsh on Tim, because I thought he had a sequence of saves that were actually quite decent at one point in the first half. So, you know, but let his team down a little bit. But they'd already lost the game, let's be fair. You know, it's not all on him. And a nice little open goal, another assist for Szoboszlai. So nice to get those numbers up. Simplest goal you will see, probably, yeah.
Exactly, mate. And Redbird says, Dom was class, but Big Verge is man of the match for me. He was immense, but I'm okay with you giving it Dom. We didn't actually give it Dom. I think that was the vote from...
On the club's Twitter, is it now?
That's who the official man of the match was. I think the Premier League one was him as well. But you just read my mind, Redbird, because I was going to come to Elliot and ask, are there any notable performances that we want to talk about? And we have to talk about Virgil van Dijk, Elliot, because everyone is so quick to talk about him when he doesn't play well. But today he was immense, wasn't he, the captain?
Yeah, I mentioned it when I was there, as we made. I said, because I remember watching the Chelsea game and thinking it was like he was a bit of like a... I don't want to use that four-letter trigger word, but I wouldn't go that far, But yeah, there was just like a dominance about him, like everything a self-confidence dominance. Like he knew that everything he was going to do was going to be good and fine, and that's what he's meant to do. And at times, maybe last season, maybe there was some doubt, but I think there was some doubt within the whole squad. I think Van Dijk actually said it in an interview saying we all felt, I can't remember the exact wording, but you know, we all felt a bit down, maybe, you know, a bit tired or fed up along them lines, which I think the supporters were as well. So, you know, it's fair enough. And this season, you know, we would have probably seen this more dominance if that red card doesn't happen. So it's good to see him back, and the Everton game has had the same thing every time a team with a low block comes to Anfield, they're way out to long ball. it doesn't happen when Van Dijk's like that today. And against Everton, he just wins everything. It was great. And Fornasi played well as well. There was a couple of good aerial duels, but Van Dijk, he is just a level above the rest. And that Chelsea game was like a big thing for me. It was like, you know, maybe there's a bit of that edge back. And I do think it is happening. It looks great. Maybe not too reliant on his pace, which is expected with that injury and age, of course, but that aerial dominance, and we'll go with it. Or it seems to be back, but you know, there'll be tougher challenges. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know, in terms of just individual performances, because we can't judge too much on that game, but we can judge it on consistent performances. And Everton and Forest, he was excellent. And we've saw it before. He was easily the best defender in the world for a good couple of years. Maybe, I think he probably still is. I would go that far. I know you probably agree with that, but some people don't. Some people like to jump on Saliba and stuff, which, you know, isn't the case. I mean, there's some other centre-halves which are definitely, you know, top bracket in Europe, but Van Dijk is still, when he's on it, which is obviously the case, but there's just a certain dominance about him. It was good to see that today. And I was waiting for it. I was playing Diag Bingo because he didn't do it, and then he done one. So I think it was for Salah on the right, and it was inch perfect. And that's when you know that confidence is about, you know, with him. He's able to just ping that about. It was good to see.
Yeah, spot on. I think obviously he had his injury, came back the season straight after 21-22, wasn't it? And he was immense. And then it was obviously last season where he started to have a little bit of a dip. And again, you can blame him all you want. You can blame the midfield, whatever. There was a lot of things wrong with the squad. But I think, this season, just the way he's pulled his socks up. And I think giving him the captaincy has obviously given him... He was always one of the captains anyway. Like, people always said that he's basically the captain figure of this team. I think there's a bit of a disservice to Jordan Henderson, but I get what people meant by that. Yeah, so I think just giving him the official status, and again, that four-letter word, which people do get triggered by. Again, there was a moment today where a player was, I think it may have been a one-year, they go to take him on, but then they change their mind. And I'm like, yeah, this is Virgil, man. Like, this is what used to happen. Like, players would get the ball, they'd think about taking him on, they'd see him in the way, and they'd be like, actually, I don't want to get involved in that. And that happened today. I think it was a one-year when he came on late in the second half. But yeah, he's absolutely fantastic. He's phenomenal. I think he's still got at least 2 years left in him after this season, at this level minimum. So yeah, just brilliant from the captain. I think we're just going to move on, mate, to be honest, because I don't think there's too much more to say. It was just a very easy win. There's not much left to discuss. So we're going to just quickly move on and discuss the Bournemouth game on Wednesday, because I don't think we're going to do a preview for this, because again, it's just a bit of a... It's a bit of a dead game. Bournemouth away on a Wednesday night in the cup. Is this the round before the quarterfinal, isn't it?
I think it is.
Quarters after this. So this is, it's not, I wouldn't say it's like a big game, but obviously, like, you get to this stage now, Elliot.
Yeah, you win this game. You want to start winning. And it's important. And it's important to win this game, because then there's all of a sudden, especially with the new lads, mentality is a big thing. Liverpool took this seriously, you know, not four years ago. That was getting mixed up with quadruple a couple of years ago. So, you know, absolutely, I don't think it's just going to be treated like a Europa League game, to be honest. I don't see why it wouldn't be, but that is fine because of the strength and depth the squad has got.
Exactly. So I think we can say it's going to be Kelleher in goal. And then...
You'd have to, going off to lose, you probably would say Chambers, wouldn't you, again? But it'd be maybe a bit of a bigger challenge for him, but away from home as well, especially. Right? I
could see Gomez coming in, to be fair, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a tough one, this, isn't it? Because it depends on how much he rates Toulouse compared to Bournemouth, which, I mean, on league standards is, you know, supposedly Toulouse should be better, but it's the standard of the division, isn't it? So,
yeah,
I'd risk it and say Chambers. And if he does, you know, if it's a poor first half, he can always drag. Not to say drag, but, you know, he can get dragged over half time and it'll be all okay, kind of thing.
Absolutely. And then what do you reckon for the other two? Do you think Matip comes back in?
Yeah, just massive. I think probably just the same as Toulouse. I know it's, you know, a bit basic to say it, but, you know, it is how Liverpool's room has been.
Left centre back.
Gomez was on the left and Matip was on the right against Toulouse, yeah. Liverpool's rhythm with Europa League, so there's no real reason to kind of change that too much, you know what I mean, in terms of lineups or teams. Actually, to be fair, Trent started against Toulouse, didn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, because then
Maybe Quanta and then Gomez right back.
Yeah.
Underrate Bournemouth, but I think, you know, three games in a week basically for Trent wouldn't be ideal, especially because, you know, he was injured. That makes sense to me, that one, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's simple as Endo coming into DM.
Yeah, should be.
And Jones coming back in, get some minutes in the tank.
Yeah, he starts on the wing, didn't he? Against who started?
Yeah,
on my mind.
He was a bit quiet though. I don't know what you thought.
I don't think Jürgen, like someone on the I say Jürgen, like my best mate. I don't think he likes him on the wing. I don't think he's ever really liked him on the wing. So I was a bit surprised that he'd done that on Thursday. I thought he might, because he tended to go with Jones, you know, a few years ago on the wing rather than you know, in centre midfield, but he didn't. So I don't think he'll do him on the wing again. I think centre midfield again would make sense. He got a few, I think it was 20-odd minutes today, you know, starts him on Wednesday. Makes sense to me. I'm trying to think who started, because he was on the wing, who started right centre midfield. I've totally...
Jones and Gravenberch.
Yeah, right, okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. You'd probably do Gakpo through the middle, wouldn't you? Because Nunes, again, it's one of them. You don't want to start in too many games and the squad depth's there, you may as well use it. Yeah. What do you Salah. Think with this? Yeah, do you reckon?
Yeah,
he only got Salah. 15 minutes against Toulouse, didn't he? And then they were in second gear.
Well, because it's away from home. If you're going a bit weaker with a couple of things like the defenders, I think you probably need a few of your senior heads going forward to at least if something goes wrong, you've got someone to bail you out. I don't expect him to play the full game, but I would expect Mo Salah to start, especially
well,
if Ben Doak.
Yeah, it would make sense because he obviously, you know, on paper he rates this more important for, you know, Klopp rates this more important than Toulouse, hence why he only got 15 minutes against Toulouse and then maybe starts to on Wednesday. That would make more sense. Like, again, if Liverpool are strolling, can take him off, obviously.
And then it just begs this question: we obviously don't know, and there's no way of telling what's going to happen with Luis Diaz, because I think the reports are still that they haven't managed to locate where his father is. So he could be out for as long as that takes, I guess. And, you know, nobody could fault him for that, even if it took however long. So I think Diogo just comes back into it. Or you could go with who out of the young lads, who plays on that side? I'm not sure.
I don't think he really is. There's Kumas, but he's only like 17. There's not really a young senior option, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he could do a number of things, couldn't he? With maybe Jones on the left and Gravenberch back in. But I think that would make the most sense. And again, if Liverpool have a lead, or if Jota's maybe feeling it a little bit, then he can always take him off and, you know, do what he needs to do. I don't think it's a problem with that at all.
No, absolutely. Would you be confident with that team, Elliot? Go through.
Yeah, I think so. I think Bournemouth have been really poor, haven't they? I think they got lucky with not lucky in the sense of like how the game went, but there was a little bit of a VAR issue. I haven't really watched it back, to be honest, but I also just know Burnley are really, really poor. I know Burnley fans looking at Twitter comments know that's maybe not the best place to look, but they aren't too happy with, you know, Trafford and goal and, you know, companies all around, management not being able to adapt as of yet. So I don't think, you know, that Bournemouth win is anything special to go by. It's a good win for Areola, and he should stay in the job. But Liverpool are, you know, one of the best teams in form in the Premier League and Europe, so it should be more than comfortable. But, you know, if Bournemouth nighttime cup game, the crowd will be behind him. So not as passive as Forest were today, but I would imagine Liverpool, you know, a little 3-1, maybe, you know, Bournemouth get a little goal, but Liverpool are always kind of in control and got them within an arm's length type of situation.
Absolutely spot on, mate. I think we need to take these competitions seriously, because obviously when we have done it, and, you know, the season we went for all of them, we came very close. So it just shows when Liverpool have the squad available to them and they do want to take these competitions seriously, we can go as far as we want. Why not? We've got the players, we've got the depth. We need to win trophies. You know, we don't know how long we're going to have Klopp for. Hopefully there's a cheeky extension in there. I've got a sneaky feeling there could be. But I want to just keep winning trophies, man. You don't know how long these days are going to last. This has been the best era of mine and your life watching this club. So let's keep going for it. Let's just keep going strong in these games. That's just, people will say it's only the Carabao Cup. It doesn't matter. It's a trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great fun as well. Let's not get...
Exactly, yeah. When I went in the last time we won at Wembley, I just remember coming away really happy thinking, if that's all we win on its own and, you know, you finish second, it's not the best season, but it's the start. It's what it can lead to. And like you said earlier, mate, you know, you've got all these new players. Some of them may not even won a trophy. Look at young Joel Quanta in there. He's obviously not won a trophy before at senior level. So you're looking at Darwin Núñez and all these other guys that have come since we last won a trophy. This could be the making of them going on to just win trophy after trophy, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's a total mentality thing. I think, you know, Liverpool had that, the receiving players, is why I always go back to why the midfield rebuild needs to be done properly, and it has been, and it rubs off on them, the fact that the spine of Alisson, Van Dijk, you know, Salah, I know it's a spine is on the wing, but you know what I mean, in terms of senior players and winning, their mentality is there alongside Klopp and the coaching staff. So why not go for it, especially considering Manchester City, who absolutely love that tournament route. Liverpool on paper should be the favourites for this competition. You know, before Liverpool actually won, Klopp probably didn't really prioritise it, and I imagine he still won't. However, there isn't a Champions League to go for, and that's not to, you know, say the Europa League is not something which Liverpool will do, which they will obviously go for, but at the moment it's not the necessity because the quality of the group stage. So why not go for it? Which is why I think it makes sense to probably start Salah and, you know, Jota as well. Gakpo's obviously just came back. I mean, it's a very strong front line. Any front line with them five attacking players is strong. And so why not go for it and give them another opportunity to boost confidence, especially Gakpo. Unlucky to not get a goal at the end today, of course, but it was he looked really nice, I thought, today. Some of the little touches. So give him a start, get him back up full match fitness, I suppose. And let's go and have some fun with the League Cup, you know what I mean? Like, you get past this stage, everyone's thinking, we can win this. Every single team will be thinking that, so why not? And there's also, I think it's, is it, I know it's Mansfield Town versus Port Vale. I'm not too sure if it is or that. It's definitely Mansfield, I think. So, you know, if Liverpool get lucky, they might get one of those teams at home, and that's basically a very nice, should be, win, isn't
well,
it? You know what I mean?
There's a few in there, mate. There's Mansfield Town, Port Vale. There's Exeter City, Middlesbrough. There's Everton, Burnley. I mean, you take one of those. Wait, no, sorry. I'm looking on. They're not... Carabao Cup fixtures, I don't think.
Everton Burnley is.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of teams in there. Obviously, there's no City, which is good for everybody because
it makes it a bit more interesting.
Yeah, well, obviously, they didn't win it last season, but yeah.
No, of course.
But yeah, I think we've got a really good chance. We've got to be up there with favourites to win it. So, yeah, let's hope we can go through. But, guys, we're just going to keep it short and sweet tonight. It's Sunday evening. We both want to chill before the week starts again. So please make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.